Morning we'll be in chapter 7 of Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 7 rather, excuse me, that's why I said chapter 1. Okay, chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said to Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to you by sevens, male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. Of fowls also by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. And of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls of everything that it creeps upon the earth. There went in two into Noah, into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the same self day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the wild, all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle and beast, of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man. In all whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed above the earth 150 days. There's a whole bunch of truth in this thing. There's a whole lot of parable in this thing, a lot of allegory of stuff. So let's look at it and see what we can dig out of this parable just for our lives, okay? Now you're going to notice something in this chapter. It starts out, and the Lord said, this word Lord's Yahweh, this is Father speaking. And when you get down to the 9th verse, you're going to see, as God had commanded Noah, Elohim. This is not a confusing thing if you think about it. Because Jesus made a prayer in John 17. Make us one with you as I am one with make him one with me as I am one with you. Here you begin to see Father and Son working in unison as the team that we were destined to be. This is the beginning of it. We're doing what together. When one speaks or the other speaks, we're still one, because God is one. And that is even the Feast of Tabernacles. It's called the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Oneness. And that's what we're talking about. We're starting to go back and see some of this functioning. Okay? And we start out, and Yahweh said to Noah, you and all your house come into the ark, because you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He only saw one. He saw one righteous man. You know the story about Lot. Started out with a whole bunch of people, 100, and ended up with, can you find one? If you can find one, I won't destroy them. So best thing Lot did was head down the road. There wasn't no more in there. Okay? So we see that he has put a designation on Noah. And if we backed up into the sixth chapter, we see in the ninth verse that God put a mark upon Noah. And this is the mark he put upon him. He said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and innocent in his generation or his age. And Noah walked with God, with Elohim. Noah was a part of the Elohim, the first fruit. See? That's not a bad description, is it? See? But you have to realize that's your description. If you deny it, you're denying you're part of the God. See? Be careful what you say about yourself. And it says in verse 2, of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, male and female. Now I want to show you something. You're looking at something. Everybody said, well, he took two is all he took. A male and a female is all he took. That's not what he took. I want to write something up here on the board so you can see it. Okay? He said, take them in by sevens. Okay? Now, he said, take seven. And take every one of them, male and female. Well, seven can't be male and female. There can't be divided by two, can they? Okay, now, what he said, take seven males and seven females. Okay, so now what do we really have?
Five each for food.
You have five each for food, and you got two more of them there to reproduce. You see what it is? The clean is in there for food. But what does 14 represent? Passover, it's a covenant. God's going to provide in Himself everything you need to start this thing and to finish it, isn't He? So it's not just a coincidence that you see these numbers the way you look at them. Okay? So they didn't go in by twos. They went in 14 of each species that were clean, and there was not two, and we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to the unclean ones here in a second. Male and female. So every male went in, and there was seven went in, had to have a female. It's kind of showing you a pattern, if people have enough mind to see this, that everything God has a male and a female. He don't have any two females together or two males together, does He? Everything He does, and that's His pattern set up for the universe. I know humanity has screwed that up big time today. Okay? But still, that's the way God says it. I'm not condemning anybody, just tell them there's an error in their way. And it said, of the beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and his female. So again, we see it this way. We see two males, right? And two females. So now, how many do we really go in by? And four speaks of what? Completeness. Whatever we need is right there in that right there, in the unclean beast. Everything is provided in that beast. Okay? Everything you need. And guess what? And just like Bob said a while ago, how many did they have for food? And so how many does that leave? And guess what that leaves? The same as that. Imagine that, huh? God's got it all provided if you just think about it. Okay? Of the fowls also, of the air by sevens. And seven speaks of covenant, the first covenant. So there's a covenant with all this stuff. Even with the fowls of the air, the male and the female, to keep seed alive on the face of the earth. And he tells you very plainly, the male must be with the female to keep the seed alive on the earth. Well, at the rate that people switching to homosexuality and lesbianism today, if they keep it up, even in their own understanding, they're going to eliminate what they want. Because if it starts getting male to male and female to female, the seed starts to dwindle because they're not reproducing. But yet today they all want to go artificially inseminate themselves and have children. Well, if you don't live the way God said, you're not supposed to produce seed. So that's the way it's supposed to be. And then it says in verse 4, to keep seed alive, rather on verse 3, upon the face of the whole earth. And verse 4 goes on to say this, and for yet 7 days, or because yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. What is 7 days talking about? It's God's timing. It's all in timing. It wasn't yet time. It wasn't just going to start raining. God said, need 7 more days before the time comes. How many days of creation was there? And the 7th day he rested. Okay, on the 7th day when it began to rain, do you think God was working? Probably sitting in a shelter somewhere, wasn't he? Okay. But 7 days, and I will cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights. What does the number 40 represent? It's testing and trials. So he says, y'all go ahead and get this ark ready, you know, do what I've told you to do, get it prepared, get everything in it. But, he says, when the time is right, when I've finished all the things that I've got done and I've got everything set up, then I'm going to bring about the testing upon the earth. But it's not going to come about until I get everything ready. Okay? Now, guess what he puts upon the earth? Rain. What is rain? And what is the water? Now God turns the word loose on the earth. Now it's begun. The testing has begun with the word. Okay? And every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off of the earth. Now this is Yahweh speaking. We know from the first few chapters, we know who built everything, don't we? Who built it? Elohim, the first fruit. Now, what does that tell me about God and the way He looks at me and you? He said, what I told you to do. Who told us? Who did all that stuff? God did it through His sons. His sons were obedient sons. So He doesn't see them any different than He sees Himself. Do you see what I'm saying? God says, what I told you, but we know that the book says Elohim told us. Elohim told those things. So God's saying, Him and I are what? One. The Son and me are one. We're not being separated as I'm superior to Him or He's superior to me. We are one. They're lining up on the same patterns. He said, that I have made what destroyed from off of the face of the earth. Notice where He said He's going to destroy them from. I know in literal language, face of the earth means the whole surface of the earth. But I know symbolically He's talking about something else. What's the face represent? The identity or the mind. And the earth represents what? Us. So He's going to wipe it all out of my mind. He's going to take all these beasts out of my mind. He's going to take everything out. It's kind of like one of those Etch-a-Sketch things we used to have when we was kids. They think they still make them. You just do a little shaking and there ain't nothing left. You have to start over again, see? And that's what God began to do. He just made an Etch-a-Sketch in our heads and He just shook it a little bit. Okay, it's clean. Now let's start over again. That's just a real little simple analogy of what He's doing. He's going to do this little testing for 40 days and 40 nights with the Word. And guess what? We'll start over clean. Didn't He say in Peter there were 8 saved by the water or delivered by the water? It killed everybody else, but the ones that were destined and chosen were saved by the water. The same word that's spoken with life to some people is death to most people. That's the pattern. I'm not making anything up. That's the way it is. What is life to some people is death to others. It makes them mad and spit and sputter and everything else. And it's not my call. Storm. And some fight and wrestle. Yep. And you'll know which one's living in light and which one's living in darkness by the way they react. See? And here's one of the greatest things that I'm going to show you. Verse 5. And Mike and Bob and Claudia and Ed and Steve and Shannon and Lloyd and Jennifer and all the children, all of them, guess what? That's you right there. Did all that Yahweh commanded him. You know what that's saying? He is an obedient son. You are obedient sons and daughters. You've got to see this as Noah as you. If you can't see this Noah as you, then you miss the point of the parable. The parable is to parallel something in your life with this so you can understand that this is the examples that I have to take in my life. The lessons that he learned, the mistakes he made, teach me something. They weren't recorded so you can show that they were imperfect people. We all knew that to start with. but it's to teach you how they reacted and how God says you should react, and he shows you the error of the way and the correction in it. See, there's what he's teaching us. If we can't see that, there's no sense even looking at this book. But that's a wonderful thing to be said by God, that you did everything you were called to do, you were commanded to do. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods of waters came upon the earth. Now, there's a whole bunch in this verse. Noah was 600 years, not old. The word is bane in the Hebrew language. Does anybody know what the word bane means? Son. Noah was a son of God 600 years. Oh, that tells me something. He was a son from the time he was created. So when I was created, guess what I was? Guess what you were? When did you become a son? When you were created and thought about in the heart of God, you were a son. Now, something greater than this, it says, and Noah was 600. That's the number of man, isn't it? So the number of man and the time, 600 years, Noah came to an end of himself and started realizing who he really was. He started realizing he was a son of God. Now, here's what brought it about. It was a flood of the Word. It was the flood of the water, the Word upon humanity, upon the earth, that brought him into this time of testing. He was grown up. You don't test little kids. You test mature sons. Now, he came to a maturity in his life. He was 600 years old. I'd think that would qualify for maturity. See, that would be mature. So at 600 years, it was a time now he could be tested and the water could be let loose. And until man comes to his maturity to where he can understand something, what good would it do to pour the water out upon him, the Word on him? It'd be like us going out to, I won't say that one. It's going out to people that's never heard anything about God and tell them, but they'd probably hear more than the people that's heard it all their life in the church realm. You know, you got some people you walk up and talk to, and you start talking to them about God, and you just turn them clear off. Okay. Well, that's what they were doing. Before that time, the Word of God couldn't work because man had not come to his maturity to a level where he could begin to understand. And it's okay, because that's God's timing, isn't it? The flood came in God's timing, not your timing, not my timing. It was God's time. And Noah went in, his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the... Where? Where'd he go? See, sons only got one destination. They're back into Christ. They're in Christ. See? In the ark, the presence of God. When I'm in Christ, where are we at? The presence of God. And that's where all the sons and their wives go. Because of the what? Because of the Word of God. We're going back here because of the Word of God. See, all this testing is coming about in your life to bring you to one reasoning. That you realize your frailties and that you need God in your life. That's what this is all about. You can't make it on your own. Nobody else has. Nobody else will. You've got to realize that this is what I need. I need to understand the way God thinks. That's called the mind of Christ. It's not about the little do's and don'ts and the little trinkets and the little cute sayings that people have, but it's about living the nature that God lived. Living the same way He lived, responding and reacting the same ways He reacted to things that came to Him. While they were killing Him, He didn't get mad, He didn't get angry, He just said, Father, forgive them. He had the maturity to see. They didn't even know what they were doing. They were doing it in ignorance. Paul referred to that later, and he said, I ignorantly damaged the church. I persecuted the church in ignorance, but God forgave me. But he saw that. And you've got to do the same thing. How many things have we all done in ignorance? Every one of us, we've done some bad things. But see, I can't focus upon that, because if I focus upon that, I'm going to cultivate all that negative stuff in my life. I can't do that. Did Jesus focus on anything negative? He exposed it, but he never focused upon it. When a woman was brought to him in sin, what did he say? He said, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. He could have pointed out, because she was in sin at the time. But he took care of it, see? And he never focused upon that. He was always encouraging, always encouraging, always encouraging somebody to come on. See, don't lay down and quit. Because when you quit, it only took one more step to make it. It is that close. Just keep, don't quit. Don't ever quit anything you're doing. He that overcomes is the one that takes one more step. Okay. And every promise in this book is not to the ones that hears about an overcomer, not that believes that there are overcomers, but to he that overcomes will I give the right to the tree of life, to have the right to sit in the throne with me, to inherit all things. You want those promises that the book gives you? There's only one way you can do it. You have to overcome. You can't play with it. You got to overcome, okay? That's the pattern we got to see. And because of the word, the waters of the flood, that's why they went in. God told them to go in, didn't he? Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, of fowls of everything, fowls and of everything that crawls upon the earth. All that went in, didn't it? There went in two and two. And I already showed you two by two. Two males, two females. Two more males, two more females. Into Noah, the rest, which is Christ. And when we're in Christ, guess where we are? We're in rest. And he says, you labor to enter into my rest. So this thought process of once you become saved, once you become a, quote, Christian, I don't have to do nothing else now because God's going to do it all for me. But he said, you labor to enter into the rest. You labor to enter into Christ. Right? Got to get by some of them thought processes that sneak in our mind from the religious realms. The male and the female, as Elohim had commanded Noah. Okay? As Elohim commanded Noah. So Noah is who? It's you all say me. See? That's you. As Elohim commanded you, that's what you're supposed to do. And you'll come into that rest. If you're obedient, you'll come to rest. Did it mean your problems will end? Does it mean your problems will end? It means that you'll come to a rest in the midst of the problems. Jesus walked in peace even as they nailed him to the tree. You didn't see him all anxious and falling apart, did you? And see, the test really can't be put onto you until you come to that 600 years of age, that maturity, to the end of humanity. Now we're going to begin to walk in the Spirit of God. So you can't be tested until you come to some realm of maturity. And it came to pass after 7 days, after God's timing, that the waters of the flood was upon the earth. The word came upon the earth after 7 days. You know what? That's part of the seventh day we're living in now. And I mean, even in the natural, they're saying this is the 7,000-year period since Adam. Guess what? What day is that? It's the seventh day, and it's the new beginnings, isn't it? Whether you like it or not, this is the day that the flood began. And in our generations, there's been more word turned loose on this earth than ever before in the time, in the humanity, of all humanity, more word has came out in this generation than any generation. And you know what? You see less life than you've ever seen. Because most of the people are being flooded and killed by the same word that is truth bringing life to the ones that have the call, that are answering to the call. It's just that way it is. That's the way the pattern's always going to be until it's finished. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Now this word deep here is amazing, because deep's not a real good understanding. What would the word deep mean to you? Sea and ocean, what does it mean? So all the great humanity was broken up, or literally opened up. Humanity was exposed to the Word of God in this flood of the Word. They were exposed to it, weren't they? Now we're going to see something happen. Because Peter told us, you can't be born again except by what? The incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, you're washed by the water word. You're cleansed by this word. Titus 3:5, I think, says something about being washed by the word also. We've got to realize this thing has to come in our life. And this word of God coming into our life when we have a carnal mind is going to cause a conflict. True or false? Our thinking process is not lined up in the mind of Christ. If we did, there would never be a struggle and we'd know purpose of us going through anything, would there? But the thing of us is to show us that we need to change the way we think. We have to repent. We have to change the way we think. And that's what the Word of God comes. It comes in opposition to the natural thinking to show you there's a better way. And Jesus said He was the way, right? The Word. Okay. But the humanity was, the great humanity, great of humanity was opened up, and the windows of heaven were what? Literally the language says they were open, the windows of heaven was opened wide. You know what that's saying? What is heaven? It's a spirit realm. So when the Word was released upon all humanity, the heavens were opened wide. Sounds like something happened the same day that Jesus resurrected, or Jesus died. What happened? The veil was rent from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies was exposed. And now we can boldly enter into the throne room. Same pattern. When this flood came, was the same pattern as the gospel preached. There's nothing about this book that's any different. It's just the way you understand it. If you understand what God is speaking in parables and allegories and metaphors and Christophanies and theophanies and all those fancy words, God's telling you the same story in many, many different ways, choosing different words to express it, but saying the same thing. Okay? And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. What is that? It's a time of testing, it's a time of judgment, and it's a time of a generation. See, there's a generation on the earth now that I believe is probably coming pretty close to the final generation. I'm not saying it's the final generation. I'm the final generation. I'm not saying that. I think there's sons of God on this earth today that are the final generation. I really do believe it. Whether I'm right or not, I can't verify. I can't prove anything. But in my heart, I feel that we're coming close. We're a lot closer than we was 6,000 years ago. But I think we're coming closer now. But I think that now the Word is really being poured out upon the earth in greater proportions than it ever has before. And it's going to be a time of testing, the time of judgment to ones who won't receive the Word. And he said, if you don't receive the Word in Thessalonians, what did he say? God said, I send you a great delusion and you will believe the lie. So if they want to believe the lie, that's okay. Let them take their course. I got my course. I got to go back to Him. Okay? You got to find out your direction in life and stay with it. And the same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. Now, what day was that? What day did they enter the ark? On the seventh day they entered. So actually, they went on the seventh day, which the next day was what? The day of new beginnings, the eighth day. The seventh day they loaded up ship. I'd say they was loading ship up for a long time. But when it come time for the rain to come, they walked inside the ark. And it says God's the one to close the gate. God closed the gate on them when He put them inside of Himself. You know what that tells me? You in Him, and He seals you up, who in the world can possibly get you out of it? Only He could open the door. And you remember what the ark was covered with? Pitch. What's the word? Kafar. And it means atonement. It was covered on the inside and the outside with the atonement of God, the blood. You know, on the outside, we saw the external view of blood, didn't we? Correct? But you know what was on the internal side of it? There was some clean beasts in there that got slaughtered, didn't they? There was blood being shed on the inside the whole time when it was covered on the outside by the blood. Isn't that amazing? Inside and out, it was covered with the word kafar, atonement. And they went in the same day that the word came. Can you get ahead of God? His timing was the seventh day. After 7 days, is that what he said? Yet 7 days. At the end of 7 days, then you can enter in, which is the new beginning, the eighth day.
Are you saying they were still sacrificing animals?
Sure. They were. They were killing them to eat. They were shedding the blood for life. But I'm not saying necessarily in the form of sacrifice, but they were killing animals, and they probably did. I don't know. The book doesn't say either way. But they killed the beast, and they eat the beast. Just like they slayed the lamb in the Exodus. They killed the lamb and eat it, didn't they? Okay. The blood was put upon the lintels of the post. And that's what it was. It was a sacrifice. Yeah, but I'm sure they did it the whole time they were on the boat. I'm sure they did it. I'm sure they were doing a whole lot of things out there. They were probably scared silly when they hadn't seen anything for a year but water. You know, I'm sure a lot of things was going on. They and every living thing after his kind or his species, and all the wild beasts after their species, and every reptile after his species that moves upon the earth after his species, and every fowl after his species, and every bird of every sort. And they went in to Noah into the ark, two by two, of all flesh, where is the breath of life. Now let me show you something, he said. Now he told you about all the animals, and he said they went into Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Talk to me. Someone tell me something about that statement. Somebody talk to me. Think what he said. Yeah, but look what he said. He already told you about all the wild animals, all the fowls, all the cattle, everything like all the beasts. But then in verse 15 he said, and they went into Noah, not talking about animals now, to the ark, two and two of all flesh. Two, look here, two males, right? Two females. Now, they went in two by two, and guess what that equals? Four. Now, all flesh is the word, all flesh. But we're not talking about all flesh here, because we've already talked about the animal flesh. We're talking about human flesh. And there was four couples went in. And each one of the couples went in two by two. Male and female went in together. The husband and the wife walked in together. Noah was the last to come in, him and his wife. But it's still two by twos, each one of them. He's showing you that there's no other way of life contrary to today. They can vote on it and say it's legal or it's not legal, but God said the way you sustain seed on the earth is male and female together. Not Adam and Steve, was it? Male and female. You can't bring forth life male to male or female to female. And he says, wherein is the breath of life? Now, how many people, I said it, how many were on the face of the earth that had the breath of life in them that went in there? There were eight people. There wasn't any animals that have the breath of life. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. They breathe air, but that's not the breath of life, is it? What we breathe this air is not the breath of life. The breath of life in you and I is the Spirit of God keeping us alive, not the oxygen we're breathing. See, we've got to separate that and understand that. Okay? And they that went in male and female of all flesh as Elohim had commanded him, and Yahweh shut them in. Yahweh shut them in. So who put them in there? Was it their choice? Is it your choice? See, whoever God's called into the presence of God, there's nobody can take you out of that. Come on. Didn't Jesus say, all that was given me, none have I lost. None have I lost. Just temporarily, I had to send Judas Iscariot out for a few things. We'll get him back later. But I didn't lose anybody. And you know what? God isn't either. He sealed up what he wants in there. And the ones that died in the flood, and the ones that's dying in the flood of the Word today, you know what? It's okay, because God's going to get them anyway. Okay. Greater works than what Jesus did, you're going to do. You're going to have to go get some of them ones that's passing away. You have to resurrect some of them dead ones, you know? Get some of them dead bones out of there, out of the way. And verse 17, and the flood was upon the earth, or the testing was upon the what? Upon the earth, the humanity, and the Word increased and lifted up the presence of God, and it was lifted up above humanity. That's all the Word of God was doing. I just read you the spiritual side of that verse. When the flood came, it lifted up, the testing was upon the earth, and that testing lifted you up above everything on the earth. And the presence of God was lifted above humanity. Beautiful picture of the Gospels. Beautiful picture of the Gospel. The Word is the only thing that's going to lift you above that. Nothing else. You do all the works you want, but it won't do you any good there. And it said, the waters of the Word prevailed and was increased greatly upon humanity. The waters prevailed and was increased greatly upon humanity. There's the end of time. There's the end of humanity. The Word of God being increased upon humanity. You know, when the Word of God is increased upon humanity, you know what happens to humanity? It is no more. Praise God for that. There is no more humanity. The Word of God is going to prevail over all of it. And then there isn't no more flesh, is there? Now we're back to the Father where we belong, spirit to spirit. It's just done away with. It's just gone. You know, I don't know where it goes. Gone. Can't occupy the same space. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Not in the earth, but it prevailed upon us. It won. The Word's never going to lose in your life. It's going to win. It's going to accomplish what it was sent to do, won't it? And all the high hills, and those high hills represent pride and arrogance, that were under the whole heaven, were covered. Were covered. They were covered. Love covers a multitude of... Hello, guess what? His love in the Word of God is even going to cover up all the pride and arrogance of every one of us. He's going to cover up all the wrongdoing we've ever done. Because in reality, those things didn't mean anything. They were tests to bring you back to Him. What difference does it make if my flesh makes a mistake? That's no license for me to go out here and do anything. It's not going to matter in the big scheme of something. It's part of the processing. It's part of what processes me back to my understanding of who I really am in God. So what difference does that make? It's not the journey, it's the destination. I know where I'm going. Okay? And they that were under the whole heaven were covered by 15 cubits upward. Literally the word upward should be overhead. There should be 15 cubits above the top of the highest mountain. And the waters prevailed. Didn't he say in Isaiah 55, verse 9, 10, something like that? He says, my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what it was sent thereunto to do. Oh, God. It's beautiful. But what's this 15 talk about here in verse 20? We can factor this. Let me factor it for you. Let me erase this board. 15 equals 5 times 3. Now, a witness of grace or a witness of death, because death to humanity and grace, but here's something else. It's grace here, number 5, grace, to all three realms. Because he's got to deal with all three realms we live in, doesn't he? Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. God didn't make a covenant to destroy it. God never destroys a covenant. God consumes that covenant into a greater covenant when he goes from Passover to Pentecost. And when he goes to Tabernacles, he engulfs it all. He's not destroying anything. He's only encompassing it and making it greater. He never destroys. And that's why when he said with Israel that he would do all the great things for Israel, he's going to do it. Even in the natural, he's going to take care of them, just like he said. He's going to take care of Ishmael even. Didn't he say that? So I'll take care of Ishmael. Ishmael will be taken care of. So don't worry about those people. You worry about what's going on in your head, getting yourself lined up, and you won't have to worry about it. And that 20th verse again, it says, 15 cubits above, upward, or overhead, the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So all those mountains of arrogance and pride and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and all them things you can think about, the Word of God is the only thing that's going to get you above them. Okay? Only thing. And if you're in the ark, the presence of God, you'll be sitting where? On top of the water. But you're up here above it. Let that stuff be down below where it belongs. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl, cattle, beasts, of every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth, and all mankind that was on the earth. Now, remember the covenant. Dust, sand, stars. Where's the dust and sand? On the earth. Where's the stars? And you know the New Testament says that we are seated where?
In the heavenlies.
If you're seated in the heavenlies, you think this death realm's going to hurt you? Can it hurt you? It can hurt you when you're seated in the heavenlies. That's what we have to understand. I'm not of a Passover in a Pentecostal realm. I have moved beyond that. And that makes me nothing better than anybody else. It just means God chose me to come on. That's all. It's not making us any better than anybody. But God has chosen us to go beyond Passover and Pentecost so we can set in the heavenlies. When we set in the heavenlies, death realm can't touch you. It's impossible. Okay? Because he said, all that moved upon the earth. In the book of Revelation, what's it say about the earth to them that live on the earth?
Woe,
pain, grief, and suffering to those that dwell upon the earth. That's Passover and Pentecost realms. As long as I live in those realms, I am going to be in pain, grief, and suffering. Didn't he also say in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent's food was what? The dust of the earth. If I live in the dust realm of the earth, what am I expected to be done to me? Serpents biting me all the time. And that's that carnal mind. But when I walk into the heavenlies, where Isaiah said, there's a higher way. And in that way, there's where no lion can walk and no vulture can fly there. We can set in a place where it can't be attained to by a beast. And that's sitting in the Holy of Holies, which is within you and me. It's inside of us. It's an internal thing. It's internal and it's eternal. It's within us. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Now, what's that saying? That's the spirit, the breath of the Spirit of life. All that was in the dry land, the earth, died. Everything that stays in the earth realm, guess what happens to it? So anytime you hear about the earth realm, what are we talking about? Death. But the spirit realm, the life realm, the heaven, is what? The life realm. And you don't have to worry about dying in the spirit realm, do you? And see, even in the spirit realm, we realize something about the death realm, the earth. The only thing that dies in the earth is the earth, the flesh. In the spirit, you never die. Every human being will go on through in God's timing. But it won't be in the same time. Every man in his own order, as Timothy said. Okay? But everything that was in the dry land died. Well, that's good. Because the dry land has no water or no word. So how could it possibly have life? Because life is the Word of God. Okay? We just got to see these little details. This is the whole gospel being preached in this one little chapter. The whole gospel. And every living thing was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Everything in the mind of Adam, that ground word ground there is Adama. Everything in the mind of the identity of the natural mind is going, whoa, somebody ought to be shouting. Did you hear what he said? Everything that lives in the face, the mind of the carnal mind, it ought to make you shout to know that God's going to get it out of you, whether you like it or not. I mean, that's exciting to me. You can get excited about a ball game day if you want to, but I'm excited about what God has shown me. I know that everyone, I don't care how vile they are, God is going to take it out of them because He loves them that much. His love is beyond anything anybody understands. And that is love when you can take someone who hates you and despises you and love them and heal them in the process. That is love. And that's what He said will cover everything. His love. Okay? I'm going to get excited. I can't help it. I just lit. Every living thing was destroyed which was on the face of Adama. Both Adam, the word man there is Adam, and the dumb beasts, and the reptiles, and the fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained. The word alive isn't there. Noah only remained, and they that were with him in the ark in Christ. The only way you're going to have life is be in Christ. Sooner or later. See, because he said, watch what he said he took with him. He took clean beasts. He took unclean beasts. He took fowls. He took reptiles. And the waters prevailed, and that's the word, prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Somebody talk to me about it. 150 days. Well, if that's what it's saying, but how's it saying it? You got the right answer. If we factor this thing down, 100, okay? Let's touch the 100. How do you factor the 100? The hair. 10 times 10 equals what? 100. And that 100 is a witness. There's two, right? A witness of what? What is 10? It's a witness of the law, okay? But the law of what? What's 50? There you go. And this 50 is Jubilee. Jubilee. What is Jubilee? Everything returns to back to where it belongs. Well, what is that besides the reconciliation? See, I don't care where you're at. I know where you belong. We're His children. Psalm 82 verse 6 says, we are all children of the Most High God. So where do we belong? Where do we belong? Right back in Him with our Father. And you know Solomon, the wisest man this book says ever was recorded, being the wisest man. He said when we died in Ecclesiastes 12:7, what is it? Or 12:3? 12:7. He says, the dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. See? So I know where you belong. You belong back with God, just like I do. All of us do. Okay? And the waters prevailed above the earth for 150 days. The word has to prevail for 150 days for what reason? Why does the word have to prevail above the earth for 150 days? Well, it's the reconciliation. The word has to prevail until everything is the word. When everything is the Word, when we return to our Father, who is the Word, when it's all come back to there, nobody has to prevail over anything, do they? Now there's no more need for prevailing because it's finished. See? We'll realize this is a done deal. We won't be wrestling anymore. We'll be at rest. Whatever Father wants, Father gets. It's that simple. It's beautiful. I'm done. I'm all cranked up now.